Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today it's Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 38. We are in the midst of Jesus' teaching, and whether Jesus taught all of this at one sitting or this is a variety of teachings of Jesus all strung together by Luke, I don't know. If you've been following, you know, I suspect that it is exactly that, a collection of teachings. But we've been going through a bit at a time. Today we're just doing 37 to 38. It's very short. And I also will confess to you right now, as I tell you, and I mean it, I record this all in one shot, right? I turn the camera, the microphone on, and boom, I read the passage and just think about it. Today I did that, and as I was just about finished, I realized there was no sound. My mic was not picking anything up. So, I have already wondered about this 20 minutes ago. I'm about to do it again. I hope that I can do it fresh. I might be faster, which might be a benefit, so we may not be at this as long. But anyway, I have already thought about this, but I'm going to think about it again and share it with you. So yesterday, we heard about, we heard that being a follower of Jesus is not about doing as well as the average person, or even doing a little better than the average person. It's not about keeping up with your neighbor. It's about extending yourself beyond. All right, God expects more. So if someone takes your coat, then give them your shirt. Okay, don't lend money to somebody and expect it to be paid back or expect interest. No, lend it to them because they need it. If you get it back, that's fine, but that's not the point. Don't make faith about business, and don't confuse business with faith. Kind of where I landed on that yesterday. Anyway, Jesus continues in that vein. Well, let's hear what Jesus says, and we'll make of it what we will. So it's Luke 6, verses 37 to 38. Jesus is still speaking, and he says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." So yesterday I was saying don't confuse business and faith. And yet here's Jesus seeming to promise that the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And it'll be a good measure, a fair measure, an honest measure, right? I think you understand how it works. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you came to me for flour and I gave you a measure of flour, you would shake it to see how it settles down, right? Sugar, grain, get the air out of it. And after it's been shaken, it's patted down, and it still overflows. It's a good measure. You're getting a good deal. I don't know if you had the kind of childhood I had, but, you know, it's that moment when you're 7 years old, Saturday morning, and you open a brand new box of Captain Crunch. It's great cereal. You open it up, and you go, whoa, it's only half full of the cereal. Yeah, because it settled and it shook in transport. So what we're being told is this isn't Captain Crunch. You will get a full measure, getting a good deal. But I thought Jesus was saying before that don't confuse faith and business, and that's not how this works. Let's start at the beginning. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, it will be given to you. I've heard this preached from the right, from the left, out in far field. I've heard it all over the place. This is, you know, theists, non-theists, atheists, just going like, hey, come on, don't judge me. It says in your own Bible you can't judge me. It does say that, you know. Don't condemn me. Don't condemn my life. It says in your own Bible you can't condemn me. If you're condemning me, you're a hypocrite. Yeah, no, they're right. It does say that. It says that right there in Luke's gospel. Jesus says those very words. I have friends, you probably do too, who, you know, working with this one, come to the conclusion of, well, that's fine. I don't hate the sinner. I just hate the sin. Yeah, you're still judging though, aren't you? You're judging. You've decided that that's a sin. Yeah. So, don't know if that really works. Many people just read this as a bit of social karma. And it works as social karma, right? If you go around judging people, you know what? People will judge you. It's true. They do. You go around condemning people, people will condemn you. Right? If you live in the world as a nice person, if you're always, you know, saying positive things, then people tend to feed positivity back to you. If you go around and you're always cynical, always negative, always judging, always condemning, guess what? That's all you hear, and ultimately you're going to hear it about yourself, because somebody you judged will be offended and they will retaliate. Somebody you condemn will be offended and they will retaliate. You will be condemned, you will be judged. Good social karma, something I should definitely teach my granddaughter as she grows up, as she learns to talk and, you know, interact with other children. Don't judge, don't condemn, because you attract all the wrong kind of people when you're that way. Yeah, and yet I do love to sit and watch the Grammys and just, you know, judge everything. but here's the thing. And fair, you know, in fairness, I did just read this 20 minutes ago. And it's been sort of allowed to percolate in my head a little bit. And also, I did read this, you know, over 50 years ago, too, and have read many times since. I don't think this is about social karma. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. I heard yesterday that I should try to be as kind as God, as merciful as God. Jesus said that too, right? And that's when I came into this, like, yeah, don't aspire to be like your neighbors or better than your neighbors. Always aspire to be like God, because you'll never catch God. You'll never be as merciful as God. You'll never be as kind as God. So that'll always, so as long as you aspire to it, you'll always be growing, always be learning, and that's great. And then right after this, we hear, do not judge, and you will not be judged. I think this is about God. And what it's saying to me is that God will judge me if I go around judging people. And God will condemn me if I go around condemning people. Well, wait a minute. Hey, God, you're a hypocrite. What's the double standard here? What, you can judge, but I can't? You get to condemn, but I'm not allowed to? Yeah. That's exactly what it is. This, for me, is a reminder that I'm not God. God and I are different. It is God's place to judge, not mine. Yes, I can discern and decide that, you know, what's life-giving for me or my family or my community, and I can be drawn to that, absolutely. And there may be people in my life that I choose not to include in my daily activities because, frankly, they make my life difficult. So I have discerned I don't need to be around them. I'm not necessarily judging them saying they're horrible human beings. I'm just saying the way they are is not good for me. I'm not necessarily condemning them saying they have no place in the world. I'm just saying they're not around me, please. So I can discern. I can do these things. But I don't have to judge. I don't have to condemn. But that doesn't apply to God, because God is not the same as you. God is not the same as me. So God can judge, and God can condemn. Now, before we sort of run off going, oh my God, so Norman's finally flipped that switch. Is he God? Now, Norman's decided that God is going to go around the world judging and condemning everybody. We're all doomed. Well, don't worry. If you're watching me, you're not doomed. We're fine. It's the other people. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because, you see, it is God's rule to judge. The thing, though, that I know about God, I learned this through Jesus, is that God is incredibly patient and merciful and loving and kind, forgiving, all of those things. God's judgment will set me right. God's judgment will not hurt me. God's judgment will make me glad. Right? That's the whole point of a judge, is to set things right. God's judgment will set things right, not on my shoulders, not by punishing me and beating me, but in fact by setting me right. That's the beauty of it. So I'm not afraid of God's judgment, but I acknowledge it's not my place to judge at all. It is God's, but it's okay. And it's not my place to condemn. It is God's place. But by the way, as a matter of faith, I don't think God does it. God can. Maybe God will. But I don't believe that God is one who condemns. Can condemn, but doesn't. Why? Because I heard yesterday that God is merciful. Right? So my takeaway from this is that God and I are different. I don't have the same responsibilities or rights as God. And some of us don't like to admit it, but the truth is that ticks us off. Because frankly, why should God get to do stuff we can't do? I mean, you listen to people talk about God, and you can even find yourself doing it sometimes too. And you realize that people talk about God as a projection of themselves. You listen to the description of God, you go like, wow, that's weird. God has all the same bias as you do. It just turns out that God is, I don't know, bigger, stronger, faster, more powerful. Rarely seems more patient than you, though. So we tend to fashion God in our image, right? I want to make God more like me. But what I was reminded of yesterday is that I should try to make myself more like God. Because we're not the same. I don't take it for granted. I think that human nature is basically a good nature. Absolutely it is. But there are times when my human nature makes me more selfish than I need to be. More selfish than is ideal for the community. There's a part of me that wants to hoard. I don't. But I have to remind myself not to. You know, if I find something that's really good, whether it's, you know, toilet paper at the beginning of a pandemic, or whether it's that really cool chocolate bar that the grocery store only carries once in a while, oh, I'm going to grab them all. That's my impulse. But I don't have to. I can have one of them. Thank you. Leave some for others who will enjoy it as well. Why shouldn't they have some joy? Right? So I do think human nature is basically good, but I do need some guides. I need to try to be a little more like God. I don't just take it for granted. I am like God. You know, our nature's the same. No, God and I, God and humanity, come together in Jesus. But we come together from different places. And this reminds me of that. God gets to judge. God gets to condemn. That's not my job. But the really great part of that is when I recognize that God and I aren't the same, I also recognize that God is there as well, forgiving and giving. Because these are things that I can do. And it is my job to do that. I am supposed to forgive. I am supposed to give. But the thing is, I do have a limited capacity. There comes a point where I have no more to give. There comes a time when I want to give somebody something that I just don't, I don't have. I don't have enough of it. I don't have the thing that they need. But I can ask God to be part of that. I can trust God to give where I cannot. And I can trust God to do that because it turns out God's not the same as I am. God's not limited like I am. God doesn't work with limited resources. God does not suffer from compassion fatigue. And I do. Sometimes. Sometimes I'm just done with it all. I don't feel too guilty. I don't feel guilty about it. There are times that Jesus said, you know what? I just need to be alone. Jesus had to go off and be alone. I do too. I need to do it more often than Jesus does, turns out. But I can pass that to God. Say, God, I'm just done right now. I need a couple of days away from this. I just need to clear my head. I need to sleep in late. I just need. And the thing is that I can trust that God will pick that up for me because, one, God is merciful, and two, God's not like me. God is kind. God is not limited. I'm not supposed to judge. I'm not supposed to condemn. I am supposed to forgive. I discussed it yesterday. There are limits to my forgiveness. Not because I want them, not because I want limits to my forgiveness, but because they are there. I can't seem to get that far where I want to go there, but I can't get there. But God's not the same as me. So God actually can get there. God can forgive the unforgivable. And as I aspire to be more like God, I learn more and more how to forgive more. I may never attain where God is on that. I know I'll never attain that, but I can keep working toward it. But I do that because I know that God forgives more than I can, because God is different than I am. And that's my takeaway from this. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. No, I shouldn't do that. Absolutely. Forgive and you will be forgiven. I should forgive. But I don't know if I can forgive enough. Give and it will not, and it will be given to you. I don't know. I don't know if I can give enough. But I know God will pick up for me. When I am exhausted, God will be there. And there'll be enough. Now, why? Well, why would I do all those things? Because it's worth it. And that's what that second passage is about. That last part, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. It's not a business transaction. It's not like, don't worry, if you're good, I'll give you good stuff. It's not that. It's not social karma. If you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you. It's not that. It's that living your life this way, although it doesn't always make sense on paper. Why should I give to the point I'm exhausted? Why should I try to forgive more than I did yesterday? I'm just going to be disappointed and devastated. I'm just going to leave myself vulnerable. Right? Why should I give up judging? It's fun to judge. Why should I give up condemning? It's the easiest way to get people out of my way. Why? Because it's worth it. You mean I get paid? It's not a transaction. It's just worth it. And it's not a fake worth it, okay? It's the worth it. That, you know, when you put it in a container, you shake it down, you pat it down, and you shake it, it still overflows. It's worth it. I am just a little more than 2 weeks short of my 62nd birthday. And I can say honestly, accounting for the last 57 years of my life, I have a better memory. That's as far as I remember well. I have a full, wonderful life. I am not rich. I have debt I didn't imagine I'd still have. When I was 17, the way I envisioned my life, no, it's not the life I'm living at all. Not living my 17-year-old dream. But I cannot imagine being more satisfied with my life. Trying to follow what Jesus offers me. Trying to give and to forgive. Trying to not judge and to be open. Trying to not condemn. Doing those things has given me opportunities and experiences that fill my life far better than money or fame or all those things that apparently we're supposed to want, that those things are supposed to make us happy, and somehow leave some wonderful people very frustrated and disillusioned. No, I think what Jesus is saying there is, like, just do these things, and what you get back, it's not full of air. It's not your Captain Crunch cereal. Won't cut the roof of your mouth. Won't disappoint you. You'll be glad you did. I just can't draw you up a contract, because then we're turning it into business. It's about trust. Anyway, that's sort of where my brain goes, and I'm going to stop now, because I can feel me already preaching it, because as I said, I did this 20, 30 minutes ago. So as I go through my second telling of it, I'm starting to shape it into a sermon. And if I tell it once more, oh my gosh, there'll be a hymn attached. So I'm going to stop right now and leave it with you. I may have missed the mark completely, but maybe I've hit something that means something to you. I invite you to spend a little time just wondering about these two verses, these two sentences, and see what comes. For now, let me offer a prayer. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that we are not the same, but we are together. We are together in Jesus. We are together in love. We are together in this wondering. So thank you, God, for being in our wondering. Thank you for the way that your voice emerges when we dare to listen. And God, may we do more than dare to listen. May we also dare to follow. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's enough for me today, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. We'll probably do more than two verses tomorrow. I think there's a parable. We'll see what happens. Until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and knows you and loves you exactly as you are. You are not judged. You are not condemned. That is not the merciful God. God can, but God does not. In fact, God's love just surrounds you and moves through you into the world in amazing ways. You make a difference. We're better because of you. So God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.